Earlier this morning, Hurricane Idalia made landfall near Keaton Beach, Florida, as a Category 3 hurricane with 125-mile-an-hour winds. A couple hours after landfall, the storm remained as a Category 1 hurricane and started heading toward Georgia and South Carolina. Hundreds of thousands of homes in Florida and Georgia are without power at this point, according to AP News. Idalia is the biggest storm we've seen this year in what's already predicted to be an especially busy Atlantic hurricane season, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Our next guest is a hurricane expert here in Wisconsin who's been watching this storm closely. Jonathan Erdman is a senior meteorologist at weather.com. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, it's great to talk to you.
We've heard this called an unprecedented event, the way this hurricane has hit, where it's hit. What stands out to you, John, about this hurricane?
Yeah, so first, if you can picture a map of Florida in your head, there's a transition area between the Florida Peninsula, which is, you know, sticks southward, Tampa, Orlando, Miami, and the Panhandle, which is kind of that northwestern kind of panhandle. And it's an area that the coast, the Gulf Coast, called the Big Bend. And generally, we can get a lot of strong hurricanes, say, in parts of southwest Florida and eastern Florida and into the Panhandle of Florida. But we haven't had many at all go into this Big Bend region. That's this area well north of Tampa and well east of, say, Destin and Panama City. And so this particular hurricane, being a Category 3 at landfall, was the Big Bend's. It actually tied for the strongest hurricane on record by wind speed, and that tie was from 1896. So, this is a pretty unusually strong hurricane for that Big Bend region.
Remind us what makes something a Category 3 storm and what other factors go into determining how destructive a hurricane can be.
Sure. So hurricanes are categorized based on their winds. 1, 2, and 3, that's based on the maximum sustained winds that a hurricane has. And in this particular case, it actually reached Category 4 intensity just before landfall, and then it weakened a little bit, broadened its wind field a little bit, and it was a Cat 3 at landfall. So that's all based on wind speed. But a hurricane is much more than winds. And frankly, some of its more deadly aspects are from water, not wind. So storm surge, this is the push of water from the ocean to the coast. And we saw a storm surge inundation of up to 8 feet along parts of the Big Bend coast this morning, say around the town of Steinhatchee, Florida. So that's a storm surge. And then you have the danger from rainfall flooding. We've already had some reports of up to 6 inches of rain in parts of Georgia. And now as I'm looking at radar now, we're having heavy rain in eastern Georgia and parts of the Carolinas. So hurricanes are categorized by wind, but they're also dangerous because of the water, both from the ocean and also falling out of the sky.
The storm Idalia is moving over, as you said, Georgia, then the Carolinas, then out into the Atlantic. There were some points where there was a concern, I think, that Idalia could potentially curve back and hit the southeast U.S. again. What are the projections at this point?
Yeah, that was some interesting forecast model solutions we had yesterday, showing this clockwise loop back toward Florida. Well, the latest forecast models aren't showing that much at all now. We're expecting Idalia to be downgraded to a tropical storm at some point later today. It'll scrape the Carolinas through, say, Thursday afternoon, and then eventually it'll just kind of move slowly out toward Bermuda this weekend, and it'll just kind of sit out there for a while and eventually start to drift back toward the northeast. So we don't think there's much of a concern. We can't completely rule it out just yet, but we think the chances of it looping back toward the U.S. at this point are very low.
Talking to Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com, looking at Hurricane Idalia going through the southeastern United States right now and hurricane season in general. John, this idea of rapid intensification, it seems like with a lot of our big hurricanes over the last few years now, that phrase has come up. What are we talking about when we talk about rapid intensification?
Yeah, it pretty much is as it sounds. It's a tropical storm or a tropical depression that just undergoes really fast intensification. Meteorologists say if it increases its winds by 35 miles per hour in 24 hours or less, it's considered a rapidly intensifying storm. And, you know, when I first started getting into this about 25 years ago, rapid intensifiers were pretty infrequent in any year. They were really notable when we got one. And now it seems like I can't see a hurricane that doesn't rapidly intensify. So we had Idalia. We had another hurricane, by the way, out there between Bermuda and the East Coast, Hurricane Franklin. That also rapidly intensified. And we see a lot of rapid intensifiers out in the Western Pacific. They're called typhoons out there. And that's basically because there's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere and there's very warm water and there's very low wind shear. So when that happens, these tropical storms and hurricanes can intensify quickly. And that's always a bit unnerving, especially when they're near landfall.
I've actually wanted to give you a call for weeks now, John. I keep reading about a heat wave, a marine heat wave in the waters, especially around Florida, not just there, though. And I've been wanting to ask you, how much could that affect hurricanes? How much does that raise the risk of things like rapid intensification?
Well, it certainly raises the risk. I mean, that's the main fuel source for tropical storms and hurricanes is deep, warm ocean water, which then transfers to the air and makes the air warm, sticky, and humid. And that's what you need to generate thunderstorms, which are the building blocks of hurricanes. So that is our big concern for the rest of hurricane season, is that it's not just the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, the Gulf of Mexico is record warm in July, basically still near record warmth, if not record warm for this time of year now. You have all this reservoir of warm water, and all it takes is a storm to sit over that warm water. As long as it doesn't have shearing winds over the top of it or dry air, that storm could go pretty quickly. So that's a continued concern all the way through the end of hurricane season, despite the fact that we have an El Nino in play, which usually puts the brakes on our hurricane season.
I also wanted to ask you about this Hillary storm. Usually we're talking about the Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico when we talk hurricanes. Well, this is the southwestern United States and Baja California in Mexico. How unusual was that?
Well, it's not unusual to have remnants of tropical storms and hurricanes come out of the eastern Pacific. So that area, say, west of the west coast of Mexico, and then eventually get pulled up towards, say, the desert southwest, parts of Arizona and the deserts of California and Nevada and so on and so forth. That usually happens at least one or two times a year. Mm-hmm. But what's unusual about Hillary is that it was pulled up unusually far to the west, such that it was still a tropical storm when it was over Southern California. In fact, one of the more surreal things I saw out of Hillary's when the tropical storm was actually centered right over L.A. And, that is exceedingly rare. And it pulled all that rain right over the L.A. Basin and then into the deserts of Southern California. So that is extremely rare to have a tropical storm still classified as a tropical storm over Southern California and the L.A. Basin.
Bringing things back to today's news, John, a Hurricane Idalia. Now, it went from a Category 3 at landfall down to a Category 1 hurricane. It seems, from my hurricane memory, and you'll know better than I do, it seems like it maintained hurricane status further inland than this usually happens. Do I have that right?
Yeah, Rob, that's a great point to make. So sometimes what will happen is a hurricane is moving so fast. I mean, it's now currently moving at 20 miles per hour, which is pretty fast for a hurricane. That when it makes landfall, it just doesn't, if it's moving faster, it doesn't have as much time to slow down, you know, wind down and weaken. So you get these hurricane force winds pushing farther inland for a faster moving hurricane than a slower moving hurricane. So that's what we saw with Idalia. We had some, you know, gusts over 80 miles per hour in parts of North Florida and, you know, some stronger wind gusts also in South Georgia. So occasionally when that happens, we can have a hurricane hold on to its status a bit longer than it normally would once it's away from the ocean water.
And briefly, John, a bit of good news maybe. Slower moving hurricanes may dump more water on one particular spot.
That can be good and bad news. You know, if you're in a drought, you like the good soaking, but it can be a bad news case. If it's a slower moving hurricane, it can produce flooding rain pretty quickly.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's Wisconsin's own Jonathan Erdman, senior meteorologist at weather.com. We've been looking at this year's hurricane season and the latest updates from Florida and now Georgia and the Carolinas, where Hurricane Idalia made landfall earlier today.